Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host this evening, and I'd like to just give some gratitude over to BBS Radio, Don Newsom and Seth over there for helping create a platform to raise consciousness using Hollywood with Spiritual Hollywood. And we have for you this evening a treat. It is Jesu Garcia, who is a very accomplished actor, producer, has a film called Spiritual Warriors, which we will give you some information on how you can see the screening if you're local, and we believe that it will be moving around, so there's a place you can see it probably somewhere. And after I give a brief introduction, then we'll ask Jesu, you know, where, in what areas the film will be screening so that everybody can get a chance to watch and to see if it will be coming out in DVD. And if so, where so? Go ahead and pull up the website, www.jesugarcia.com, which is one of them. That's J-S-U-G-A-R-C-I-A.com. That's Jesu's personal website. And the other would be Spiritual Warriors. My computer has molasses in it right now, so I'm not able to scroll down to the Spiritual Warriors website, but I believe it's www.spiritualwarriors.com, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Yeah, great. And anybody who would like to call in, toll-free is 877-876-5227 in the U.S. only. Toll-free for Canada only is 888-815-9756, and the direct line is 530-876-3222. So I just want to give a little bit of a blurb about Spiritual Warriors to you. It is a little review that was written by Straw Weitzman, associate producer of What the Bleep Do We Know. He says, Spiritual Warriors is a mind-bending, consciousness-raising trip very much worth taking. A dramatic story, a stunning visual journey, and a life lesson all rolled into one. It's a special effects movie about creating your own destiny, but the most special effect is the way that it makes you feel. See it twice. That's a pretty good recommendation. So I would like to, at this time, bring on Jesu Garcia so he can tell you a little more about himself. Hi, Jesu.
Hi, Kate. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for making time to be on the show tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So being this is Spiritual Hollywood, and this is a spiritual film, Spiritual Warriors, which I haven't seen yet. I believe I will be seeing it very soon at one of your screenings. You have something coming up this weekend on the 10th, right?
Yeah, February 10th at 7:30 at the Fine Art Theater on Wilshire and La Cienega in Beverly Hills. Please come.
That's 8556 Wilshire Boulevard, Beverly Hills, 90211. The phone number over there is 310-360-0455. Tickets are $5 for students and seniors and $10 general admission. And tickets are available at the box office and online. And again, that's www.spiritualwarriors.com, S-P-I-R-I-T-U-A-L-W-A-R-R-I-O-R-S.com. And if you want to look Jesu up on IMDb, just go to www.imdb.com and put in Jesu Garcia, and you'll find out what he's been up to of recent days in his acting career, which is very accomplished. So I'd like to just know if you would be willing to give a little bit of background on yourself for our listeners, Jesu, before we launch into talking about your film.
Sure. You know, along with Isai Morales, we were talking about him earlier, and
mm-hmm.
a bunch of young, we were once young, her. And, you know, I've been in the biz for 20-something years. I used to be called Nick Corey.
You used to be called what?
Nick Corey.
Really?
That was my name when I first did Nightmare on Elm Street and a couple of other movies, because it wasn't kosher to be Latin back then, and now it is.
Now it's very popular.
Now everybody's getting into it.
Exactly. But, Romero
then,
is my name.
I mean, Esteban, what was his name?
Emilio.
No, the guy from Fantasy Island.
Oh, right, Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban was like the only Latin actor, you know what I mean?
Right.
Back then, and then there was, everyone was coming up, you know, like, you know, Isai and everyone, and then, you know, of course, Andy and then Antonio, and then it was like, wow, you know, the door opened. These guys opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
So then I put my name back on, Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, wow. And then I made great movies like Nightmare on Elm Street and
And you got nominated for an award on that, didn't you?
I think so, somewhere. Yeah. I was nominated for the Academy of Science Fiction horror film thing. And
1985.
Yeah, and then lately I'm known lately for The Lost City with Andy Garcia. I played Che, and then I played Along Came Polly. And then I just finished Steven Soderbergh's film with Benicio called The Argentine.
Nice.
About Che, his version.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, on the side, I study with John Roger, who saved me from the, you know, the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune in acting. And,
Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because that sounds like something a lot of actors would want to know about.
Yeah. You know, and I can't comment on Heath Ledger because who knows what he died of. I mean, you know, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. It doesn't matter what you did.
Right.
But I know for sure that the break stopped with me when River Phoenix died outside the Viper Room.
Right. Yeah,
that
was tragic.
That's when I put the brakes on, and I was like, well, you know what? It's just so prevalent in the acting world that it's not so much that an actor is a drug addict. It's just that you're so high and you're going to all the parties and they're giving it to you and they're giving you everything, free passes, giving you free women, you know, just to get to your side that you can like these people or whoever these people are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, they want to please you. You're the number one contender. You're like a boxer that's a champion of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You get everything, and then at the end you have to pay.
Right.
And that payment can be consequential. Could be your life. Could be that you lose something.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, in my case, I was just I'm an AA graduate.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
And, thank you. 20-something years clean.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And I did drugs and did all the Hollywood thing. And with quitting, sometimes comes a consequence. You're not going to be hanging out with the same people that could connect you.
Right.
And so sometimes you could get, then you're actually looked at as the black sheep. You're the actor with the leper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're clean and ooh, you know.
Right.
And so, and then your consciousness and the awareness is much different. I mean, and also there's nothing better in an actor than to be completely clean, because how else are you going to portray a character?
Right.
Unless you constantly do drug dealers, that's cool. But if you're an actor, your brain and your wits have to be, you know, with you.
Right.
So that you can break the character down and do the work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be completely stoned all the time. That's not a real representation of an actor. There's so many great actors out there that are like me or I'm like them that continue working and they go for the art. And I have sometimes strayed away from the art of it.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since I met John Roger, I've just been clean. I do my job. I get paid, and I try to elevate, and I'll play, and I'm different. I'll play a drug dealer tomorrow.
Right.
But I'll be, as an actor, I'll be clean.
Mm-hmm.
But as the character, then I just go all out, all out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, just because I'm clean doesn't mean that I have to, from now on, I'll never do a drug dealer. But if what's interesting is that the cleaner you are, the smarter you can play that drug dealer, that, you know, an actor should never judge a character.
Right, and you have all that life experience to bring to it.
Correct, and it becomes a really character that's full of death and dimension.
Uh-huh.
And then people go, man, when you play that drug dealer, and there's nothing better than to play bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Bad guys are so dimensional, so 3-4 dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And so, especially when I played Che, it was a great, great multi-dimensional, very complex character.
Mm-hmm.
So I love playing those guys because that's really what I am. A
really
complex guy, and I'm not black and white, and it's not, and neither are you or anyone else.
Right.
And we're so filled with so much complexity that you can't just, this is Kate, and no, it's not. It's this, because tomorrow you wake up and we're different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, in a nutshell, I'm 44 now, and I'm just trying to make great films and act in great films. And,
mm-hmm.
and on the side, I study spiritual psychology and spiritual philosophy.
Wonderful.
In MSIA, and
mm-hmm.
And I'm not fanatical in any kind of religious way. I'm just, I'm a historian, and I love God, and if I can love God, then I love myself.
Absolutely.
And then it doesn't mean that I'm perfect either, because I go through all the
human journey.
Exactly. We all go through the same thing, but I like to go through it sober this time.
Absolutely. Good for you. What an inspiration. And you could have done it so differently, too. You could have ended up like Heath Ledger or Phoenix.
I was so close. It wasn't, I'm always, in the Heath Ledger, that really hurt me. That really hurt my feelings.
It hurt me, too. I really felt that. I grieved for a couple of days, and I never met him before, but if he felt like family,
It hurt, and it somehow, it's really, we're all connected. So I kept asking myself, why do I feel that?
Yeah. I did too.
Like somebody stabbed me in the heart, and I'm like, no, and I really. And then there was another actor that died before him.
Who was that?
That guy that was in the movie about Branson or Brad. He's a young cat that just died. Drugs.
Oh, Brad Renfro.
Yeah, exactly. He died too, and I though I didn't know, I was like, wow, that's sad.
Was that from drugs?
I think it was another influential, influence of something.
Wow, and you feel invincible when you reach a certain level in your career, when you're having a lot of success. That's why it's extremely important for people to be grounded and to have a solid sense of self, which is really the impact that I want to make on Hollywood, is just helping people get back to their true nature before they reach those heights, so that they can sustain them and make a difference while they're there.
Right. And he, in the Heath Ledger situation, I don't know anything, so I didn't want to comment that way, but
mm-hmm.
the death is what hurt me.
Right.
Is the loss.
Right.
That you go, geez, regardless of what it was a loss to,
mm-hmm.
he was such an integral part of our society, and we just can't wait for another one of his movies to come out.
Right.
So you're like, that's the same thing as if we lose Jack Nicholson, because Jack Nicholson, we just can't wait to get that other Jack Nicholson movie in.
Yeah, he's an icon.
So.
Right. So how did John Roger help you to stay committed to staying sober and the spiritual work that you're doing with John Roger, what has that been like for you? How did that pick you up and straighten you out?
Well, the bottom line is feeling joy and love.
Mm-hmm.
I loved acting, and I started not liking it. And mm-hmm. then when that just meant that I started not liking myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just listened to one of his tapes called The Wayshower. And in it is a thing called the true self.
Mm-hmm.
What is the true self, and how we all seek it, but we can't find it. And we're in that club. I mean, I'm kind of telling you a little bit of what his tape said.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in that club. We're in that club. We're doing that thing. And then we hear inside that thing that says, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
The inner voice that goes, what are you doing? And then you go, Jesus, man, I better,
mm-hmm.
oof, okay, I'm leaving. It's not that it's evil, but it's just that inner self, that true self that goes, I don't belong here and I don't want to be here.
Right.
Why are you dragging me in here?
Mm-hmm.
And I think my whole journey and my whole purpose in life is to get closer to that voice
mm-hmm.
that goes, let's do it.
Right.
We're in it. And then when I slightly hit, it's not sinning, it's just getting off the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Like my JR says is, when that little voice inside says, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, be honest. That's what I want to be in touch with more.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasons why I took drug was to numb that voice.
Of course.
Because I didn't want to hear it anymore.
Right.
I really liked the sensations of, a lot of sex with a lot of women or this or that, and the true self was going, dude, don't do that.
Yeah.
So it's that battle. It's
mm-hmm.
that it's no longer a battle anymore.
That's now, good, because you're clear-headed and you hear the voice.
I hear the voice, and then I get sad when I don't hear it.
Well, I call that voice your knower.
Oh, yeah.
That's the knower, and your knower knows everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a very powerful thing, so a lot of people do numb out their knower. So they don't have to listen to, you know, be connected to source because they need to learn some lessons. So, you know, you can do it the hard way or you could do it the easy way.
Correct.
And it's a choice every time.
Correct.
Right. So, well, thank you for describing a little bit of what it was like to discover John Roger and that work. And what would you recommend for the listeners to do in order to find out more about that?
Yeah, and to lastly, I'll do that real quick, but the last thing was I never met anybody that told me the truth, and he would nail it. And, well, you can go to john-roger.org or msia.org, and you can, you know, he wrote great books. Like he wrote the book that inspired the movie called Spiritual Warrior, and it has all these great anecdotes of living your life. You don't have to believe in any kind of God, just... it's living your life, you know, as ruthless as you can in terms of truth, and your armor is your courage, you know, and that kind of thing, where it's not a warrior in terms of violence, but it's a warrior in terms of impeccability about keeping your word and, you know, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to finish completing and cleaning up my room. It could be as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to those websites, you know, john-roger.org, msia.org, oh, I don't know what else, or pts.org, but he's done great, he's written great books. He's got a book now called The Rest of Your Life, and Timeless Wisdom, and Forgiveness. He's got like over 50 books.
Wow. That's pretty accomplished.
Whenever I'm like bummed out, I go to the toilet and read a couple chapters.
The library.
The bathroom is the library.
It is the library. You can get a lot of good thinking done in there because you relax.
Oh, you push.
Yeah, relax and push. Okay. So, anyway, tell us how did you come about wanting to make the film Spiritual Warriors? Was it just a natural outgrowth from doing the John Roger work, and you just thought this would make a really good movie?
Partly. We wrote the movie in 1999, and I had a great success in pilots. I was working with Arnold, Mel Gibson, and I was making some nice cash.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to achieve getting a certain place in the career, and it wasn't happening. I was frustrated, and I was angry, and then I was out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And then, rather than blow up things and hurt people, I thought, what's the perfect revenge? This is where you take creativity and make it for the best, and don't try to hurt somebody. But I was very angry, you know, and I didn't know how to control it, except go out and make a movie.
Right.
So me and him got together, and in 2004 we put some money together, and the energy that I had on it of wanting to be a star, wanting to be in the lead, which, by the way, was all disillusioned. It was quickly disillusioned, you know, quickly disillusioned. I was quickly humbled. It took 2 years to make the movie, shooting it, editing. And the process of that humbled me.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were shooting, I had all this, you know, chutzpah, you know. I was like, I'm doing it. Get out of my way. I was convicted. I was on purpose, more on purpose than ever in my life.
Mm-hmm.
We shot it in the Middle East, 10 people, 2 cameras. Finished shooting it here, 52 days, 40-week editing, 9 months visual effects. That wasn't as easy as I'm saying. It was very much hard work, crying all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it took me up and down.
Right.
And in the end, it brought to me, and it built my character. I am a person that it's very hard for me to collapse, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So 100 women can reject me, nothing. 100 jobs can reject me, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I'll be tested here and there, but I became sort of like water. You know, it bounces off me, and then I absorb it. So I found that instead of what I was doing in my career was trying to join the club.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to be the Spielbergs and get in with, you know, Mel and, you know, hey, I worked with Arnold, rather than create my own club.
Right.
And create my own path. And that's, I woke up at the end of the movie going, I can, you know, people were saying the movie's not mainstream. You're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I proved them wrong because I found, yes, we're not mainstream, but I found and the niche and I found my audience. My audience is the yoga people, the Whole Foods people, the Bodhi tree, or that one person that's thinking about bettering their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my, and that is the mainstream.
It is these days for sure. There's a definite new consciousness taking place that can't be stopped.
Can't be stopped, and everybody that I speak to gets affected by the movie because in it there is something that they leave with, and they go, Jesus, you know. I even had a big producer, a huge producer who was involved in Matrix and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like laughed at me and said, you know, it's a little bit amateur, but I got to give it to you. You have great story.
Mm.
You know, and I took it as a compliment. I said, dude, thank you.
Because right.
We are batting in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not necessarily hitting homers all the time, but we're scoring.
Right.
And that the higher ups are kind of noticing. They're
mm-hmm.
like saying, what is this little film?
Mm-hmm.
The blessing of the movie is that it has story, and
yes.
it has everybody's story in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we, you know, we entertain. We do some sex scenes in it. We say bad words. We get a couple monsters. But, you know, what doesn't? Matrix had violence in it, but it was fantastic.
Right.
Because it expanded your mind.
Mm-hmm.
The Christ had violence in it, Passion of the Christ.
Uh-huh.
But it had a great point.
Yeah.
You know, and many other, What the Bleep, you know, had a bunch of talking heads. But eventually you walk out going, wow, you know, let me think about that.
Right. The Secret also.
The Secret also, great, great. They did an amazing marketing over the internet that totally blew me away.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So I look at all these guys making their own path, and
mm-hmm.
they're no longer, you know, and then Hollywood's kind of going, hey, guys, you know. It's kind of like the government going, hey, we should tax prohibition. We should make alcohol legal so we can tax it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the mainstream studios are going, now, wait a second. How come we don't get a piece of that?
Mm-hmm.
And people like Peaceful Warrior, Victor Salva,
mm-hmm.
he liked our movie
mm-hmm.
and talked about it and had a nice dinner with him, and he really liked the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he did a great job with Peaceful Warrior also.
He did. I told him how much I loved his movie.
Yeah, he's a great, great director. And I think he may be also working on the new Eckhart Tolle movie that's in progress right now. They're working on that. Eckhart wrote it.
Power Within You or Power Within?
I'm not sure they're naming it that, but it will be based on that. So I'm real excited to see that come out. And it's the same folks, David Welch and John Rotz. Working with Eckhart Tolle for that one. So, you know, I'm very, very excited about what's coming in films, and Spiritual Warriors is one that I'm looking forward to seeing and promoting because...
Please come February 10th. I'll have a free ticket for you.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And
Edward James almost went to see it last month, and he stayed through the whole Q&A and just... You know, he works with Robert Easton.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that Robert Easton is just an old gem, 70-something years old. He's coached every movie star.
Mm.
He helped Forest Whitaker win his Oscar for The Last King of Scotland.
Oh.
And he's, you know, he's every star's guru for dialect.
Mm-hmm.
And Edward James Olmos just loved that we gave, you know, Robert Easton a great opportunity.
Yes.
To star in a movie, and, you know, I really like the kudos he gave.
I'm real interested in seeing that performance because I know of Robert Easton. I was an actress myself for 15 years.
Wow.
And my son was an actor and played Edward James Olmos' son in a couple of things.
Wow.
Yeah, my son is Kalen Romero.
Wow.
He's 25 now, but back when he was just a little guy, he played Edward's son in a couple of things. Hollywood Confidential was one of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, what was it like to work with Sally Kirkland?
I love Sally. She's an old, old friend. And
an old, old soul.
Old, old soul and friend.
Yeah.
When my career was down, she just came off a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
And gave me a lead in one of her films.
Great.
So I'll always owe her. And you know, it's tougher for an older actress.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not that old, but I'm just saying, if you're not 19 and anorexic, you know, you're not working.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but Sally, there's only one Sally Kirkland, so she's
only one.
They're on the corner on the market for Sally Kirkland.
And she taught me how to promote.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only one I know that can, you know, pretty much give you like a quick sound bite of something. Like, Sally, we only have 5 seconds, and she'll tell you her whole life.
That's a good quality.
She was the one that, you know, really helped me be who I am in terms of promoting.
Mm-hmm.
She's never too shy to just break down a door, and sometimes you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's stories of, like, Kris Kristofferson helicoptering down on Johnny Cash's ranch and saying, you know, Johnny, I wrote a song for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes there's a tenacity you need.
Yes.
And
yes, I've exercised that myself when I was a single mom in Hollywood.
It works.
I totally did, and as a talent manager, I still do that for my clients. So, and I had Lee Taylor Young on, actually, on my show a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great interview, and lovely lady.
She's awesome, yeah.
She played a kind of a darker character in the film, didn't she?
Yeah, she plays a dark doubter and psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, she's an icon. She's just like Sally, they've worked with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching The Sting the other day, and Sally's in it. Then Lee's also worked with Peter Sellers, Alice
right.
B. Toklas.
Uh-huh, right.
So if you guys are movie buffs out there in the world, just tap into these icons that,
mm-hmm.
you know, they rub shoulders with other greats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wonderful, and that they're still out there doing it, and it's nice to see people of their caliber doing spiritual film.
Oh, yeah.
That's very important.
And I also appreciate the accessibility I have to be able to pick up the phone and call on a friend to be in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really a hassle sometimes when, you know, I like the idea of George Clooney calling Brad and Matt, you know, hey, be in my film.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing that kind of it got lost in a while in movies. And
mm-hmm.
we should be able to reach across, you know, the aisles of, you know, and say, you know, you don't necessarily need to go through all that bureaucracy to get a job. You can call on a friend,
mm-hmm.
and the friend will come help you.
Right. That's wonderful. And especially with the writer's strike going on, a lot of people are banding together to find another way to stay employed.
It's going to be over soon.
Yeah, I know it will. And I look at it as an opportunity to regroup for everybody. I don't see it as negative at all.
I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger at the coffee shop, and I said, hey, you know, I'm an actor. I know you're the governor, but can you make it happen? Can you make it stop so I can work? And he goes, don't worry, the strike will be over soon. And I was like,
you say when?
Hmm?
Did he say when in his infinite wisdom?
Nah, I didn't push it, but I figured it was kind of a wink, like he knew.
Right, right. That's funny.
Because he's an actor. You know he's up there calling, like,
absolutely.
What the hell is going on now?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a lot of friends I have that, you know, Tom Arnold calling me and all these people in the California and the taxes. What's going on?
Yeah, he's bound to be able to pull some strings.
We need to stop this fighting.
Yes.
And talk to each other.
Yes. Absolutely. So, where is it that you would like to see the Spiritual Warrior shown? Where in the country will it be seen other than California?
Oh, well, we're off on February 28th. You know, last year we were in the Tel Aviv Israel Film Festival. Last
mm-hmm.
year we were in Cairo. We were in Canada Film Festival. And now we're going to Cartagena, which is the Colombian version, Colombia, the country, the Colombian version of Cannes Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
We open the festival.
Hmm.
And then we will. Then I will go. People love John Roger all over the world. So
mm-hmm.
Countries like Venezuela, Argentina,
mm-hmm.
Chile, Peru,
mm-hmm.
they're all raising money, renting their theaters. I just come down, show the movie, and do a Q&A, and I leave.
Wonderful.
And the momentum is all over the world now. Norway wants to do a screening. This is my second time in Calgary. I got to go again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what I notice is the farther away we are from Los Angeles, the more people are hungrier. Because not that LA is not hungry,
mm-hmm.
but we're slightly jaded
mm-hmm.
because there's so much per capita, per space. There's so much teachings that we can just jump into.
Right.
We can go to Brentwood and do a little yoga here, and then you know go to Larchmont, do a little yoga there. You know, there's a seminar by such and such, and the learning annex here. Couple radio shows, and I'm like blissed out.
Right.
Well, that accessibility is not so in other states.
Right.
And other countries. And so, you know, like Paris. I mean, I love France,
mm-hmm.
but they're so hung up about if it's not that religion, it ain't flying.
Hmm.
You know, if it's not the Catholic thing, it ain't flying.
Right.
And I think that's just sort of
a little bit in a box.
You know, it's like we should all be tolerant
yeah.
to all religions because it's, you know, when it comes down to it, it's one God.
It is, and if every river
in many different ways.
Right, and I have a philosophy. It's like if the ocean is God and all the rivers and streams flow to the ocean, then everybody's headed for the same place. So
awesome.
Why can't we all tolerate each other's pathway?
That's awesome analogy. I love it.
Yeah, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, you can, like, you know, people that are Christian, you know, are bagging on the Jews, and you can't forget that Christ was a Jew.
Right.
So you can't be anti-Semitic to the Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
And the Buddhist, we're all connected.
You know? Mm-hmm. Totally. We're all made from the same stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Red blood, same thing.
Yep, absolutely. So I want to tell the listeners again that your screening will be on Sunday, February 10th at 7:30. Over at the Beverly Hills Fine Arts Center, 8556 Wilshire Boulevard, Beverly Hills, 90211. The phone number over there is 310-360-0455. Tickets are $5 for students and seniors, $10 general admission, and they're available at the box office and online. Once again, go to spiritualwarriors.com to check out the film, and I think you have some things on YouTube as well, don't you, Jason?
Correct, yeah. If you go to the website, I geared it up where you can hit all the YouTube stuff, or just go to YouTube and type in Spiritual Warriors Cairo or anything like Spiritual Warriors. You get all our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also, on the website, you can hit the calendar. We have like an iCalendar. You
mm-hmm.
click it, it'll tell you what's happening. There's articles on the website, photos.
Mm-hmm.
And IMDb, please, anyone that can get on the IMDb and vote. It's like really sad, but the IMDb, the higher, the lesser the score, the better.
Really?
Can you imagine that?
Like golf.
Like golf. Like if your movie, not good or bad, if your movie's like a 3,
mm-hmm.
and Brad Pitt's in a 3, or I think right now Rambo is, you know, people call you. Like, I see that on IMDb your score is low. Are you looking for distribution? And I'm like, yeah, dude.
That's funny. Just opportunities,
you know,
come out everywhere.
They look for like low score, and then they call you for acting jobs.
Interesting. Hmm. So what's the next film you're going to do?
Well, right now I'm hoping that Tiny Dancer is on post-production. It's a film I did after taking that film in its beginnings. There's a thing called Sundance Lab,
mm-hmm.
which with Robert Redford in the summer,
right,
the spring.
Mm-hmm.
You go up there and you, like, it's basically boot camp workshop. They take 12 directors and they work with their scripts, and you're next to like Seymour Hoffman and, you know, Robert Redford, and they
mm-hmm.
kind of like, you know, they cradle you, nurture you, and then bam, I went off and did the film that I did at the lab a year later. It's
mm-hmm.
post in Spain, and that's what's really out there. I was a reoccurring on Without a Trace, but the strike, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
And I'll have to, you know, call up Anthony LaPaglia and beg.
And beg?
Enrique Marciano hooked me up on that job.
Mm.
Great guy.
Nice.
But I loved working on Without a Trace. Just the producers on Without a Trace rock.
Yeah.
They just let the actors go for it. The writers help them. And it's not, you know this as much as the listeners that are actors. It's just really sad when the executive, 10 executive producers are telling you how to act, what to say. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So they write the script on Without a Trace. And you basically, once you're on the show, you work with the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And then the producers come up and say, yeah, we like it. How can we accommodate you, J-Su, so that your lines match what we want to say?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say I'm gonna instead
mm-hmm.
of I'm going to.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and do that.
Uh-huh.
And it's not so rigid.
Right.
And it's super cool. And Rosalind Sanchez, I played her psycho ex-boyfriend.
Mm.
Who threatens her and kidnaps our kid and everything.
That's a meaty part.
It's a cool part. I had like 4 episodes. And
great. Now, I've had lots of clients on that show. And they've all had the same great experience.
Anthony sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
That dude deserves a star.
Yeah.
Because it's all about the leadership at the top of the show.
Right.
Are we just going to get in this stupid show, get 6,000 and leave?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we going to work it? And Anthony comes from stage.
Mm-hmm.
All the actors on there, you know, and Marciano. We got some solid actors in that show.
Right.
It's
a great show.
Great show.
And I'm seeing with television episodic, there's a lot of spiritual content creeping in all kinds of different ways.
Oh, my God. I auditioned for pilots years ago, like the Medium. Remember Medium?
Yeah, I love Medium.
Okay, that pilot finally made it. But,
yeah.
Man, 10 years ago, there was some really brilliant writers trying to come out with, you know. And I love that actor that's in a Canadian film called Dead Zone.
Uh-huh.
So he started it, that actor in that show.
Mm.
You know, you shake the hand and then you see what was going to happen, what will
right.
happen.
Right, right. Another good show was Ghost Whisperer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also based on real people. Ghost Whisperer is based on that French psychic.
Mm-hmm.
Or medium is.
Well, what I'm seeing too, J-Su, is that when these shows are on the air and they're running every week, the people who have these kind of talents and gifts of psychic ability and these sort of things are getting validated. And they're risking more, and they're coming forward more, and they're utilizing their gifts more. And it's a momentum that can't be stopped. And every person on the planet is connected to infinite intelligence if they'll just allow themselves to be.
Correct. You know, a funny show, but it opened the door, is Charmed.
Yes.
You know, it's witches, you know, tapping mm-hmm. into a, you know, metaphysical.
Yep.
And although the chicks are cute, you're looking at it and you're going, wow, that's pretty deep.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Oh, what was that? Remember that show, Angel?
Yes.
About demons, fighting demons? That's
yes.
pretty cool.
Yes, that was good, too. And another one is Moonlight, which is about werewolves.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't seen it, but I saw the commercials.
Yeah, superpowers.
Do you like it?
It's okay. It's okay. I'm a talent manager. You know, I like to get my clients out there working, and it does have... it's got a message in it, basically about, you know, your what goes around comes around, and you're going to get your just desserts. And the bad guy has to get it. He has to get it to make a point.
Oh yeah.
He's got to get it. So to play the bad guy is really can be a lot of fun because, like Satan. I personally don't believe in the devil. I believe Satan stands for seeing all things as negative.
Cool.
But. You know, when you do have to play that kind of character, the best way to play it is to have a lot of charm, because that's how they get their souls.
I mean, Howard Fine's my acting teacher. He says, you can't judge the character. The
mm-hmm.
bad people think they're doing a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hitler thought he was doing a good thing. You
yeah.
can't, you know, bad people don't go, I'm bad. You know, they're like, hey, I'm going to change the world.
Right, right. My way or the highway.
And I believe in these things.
Right.
You know, Che Guevara, You know, he thought he was helping people. He wasn't. Mm-hmm. He was whacking somebody. You know, as much as people confused the two. The Motorcycle Diary was a young man searching to save the world,
mm-hmm.
a creator. And then when he picked up the AK-47 in the invasion, he became the destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
As much as people love him on the T-shirt, they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
When you do research about him, he whacked a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that, good or bad, that doesn't justify the end.
Right.
So, I mean, he's a cute. Hey, he was charming. He was good looking.
Right.
But, I mean, it was playing him was I decided to just seduce people
mm-hmm.
and not think about evil or anything.
Right.
It was Jim Morrison. I was a seducer.
And that's the whole point. That's what they do. They seduce. That's how the people get in. So, if you were to make another film, like were you just the lead actor in Spiritual Warriors, or did you have producing?
Yeah, John Roger and I co-wrote it, co-produced it, and although I had a director, he was under my, our reins. We kept him.
David Rayner.
David Rayner, awesome guy, who comes from Martin Lawrence's stables. He did great films with Martin, and he did Whatever It Takes. It's all these teenage comedies.
Right.
And David is a student of John Rogers. So we said, look, we're not going to make this slapstick. We're going to really commit to this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was very hard to stick to the story and make a story. And it was a fine line between boring the crap out of people with our message
mm-hmm.
or just entertaining. And then occasionally it sets in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fine line. The Talking Heads is different. Like, what the bleep, you commit that you're going to go to the theater and be talked to. That's what the secret and what the bleep is.
Mm-hmm.
You as the theater audience, you commit to that. But in Spiritual Warriors, we made sure that we could entertain you, and therefore we have you, and you're having fun.
Right.
There's a lot of people that don't want to be talked to like that.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to just, yo, can you just, with today's things that are going on in the world, can you just take me away for an hour and a half?
Mm-hmm.
And take me to a place of, you know, some reincarnation ideas,
mm-hmm.
some visual effects that you've dreamt of.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, dang, you know, oh my God, I've experienced that. You know, one guy lost his son. He saw the movie because we deal with death.
Right.
And the guy was like, oh my God, you know, thank you so much. I lost my son. This is the best thing I could have had. Thank you. So it's interesting. It works for him.
Mm-hmm.
And others, it works in a different way.
Right. But everybody's left with something.
Everybody leaves with something. I'm always amazed. There was one person that was obsessed with, we have a puppy in our movie.
Uh-huh.
And out of all the things, she just was concerned about that puppy.
Really?
And it really moved her. You know, she was an animal person.
Hmm.
So I didn't have an answer. I just said, well, that's for you then.
Right.
And,
right. So it's going to have a different message for everybody who watches it, depending on what's going on in their life.
Correct. And if a person doesn't like it, they will leave the theater just arguing.
Well, yeah, because their ego won't let it in.
But what's great about it is they keep bringing it up.
Right.
No one's been able to just leave the theater and drop it. They leave the theater and talk about it.
Right.
You know, the discussions afterwards are awesome.
Right.
Q&As are the best.
Yes.
People want to talk, and I'll be there like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
We just have a really fun time just talking.
Great. Are you going to have a Q&A on Sunday?
Every night we have a Q&A.
Awesome.
Every time.
So who will be there from the cast besides you?
I'm trying to get Susie McCobbin. She plays the seductress.
Mm-hmm.
Shyla is my lover in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Easton always comes.
Oh, nice.
So
it'll be good to see him.
Yeah. And he just brings everybody. You know, he's just a big giant.
Wonderful. Well, I definitely will be there to see it on Sunday.
Can't wait to meet you.
And that'll be really fun. I've heard a lot about it. I represented, actually, one of the actors in it. I can't remember his name. I can't believe
Stephen
I forgot.
Swan?
Pardon?
Stephen Swan?
No, he was Afro-American, handsome guy, looks a little bit like...
Is it Wheeler?
Yeah, Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Eddie Wheeler.
Who?
Eddie Wheeler.
Yeah. He's he plays the Pharaoh.
Does he?
He's a big star in it.
Awesome. That's great.
He's my Pharaoh with the tattoo.
Awesome. Yeah. He was telling me about Spiritual Warriors a couple of years ago, and I never did get to see it because I was out of town when it screened here.
He was really good, really a cool guy.
Awesome. So
you tend to know who your actors, good actors, when they just come to work.
Mm-hmm.
They're you know, they'll pick up stuff. I mean, in this movie, there were no trailers, man. We were like $100 a day. And then finally, I bumped up the movie in SAG and paid everybody scale.
Mm.
You know, that $500
a
day, whatever it is.
That's good.
And everybody got happy.
Yeah.
But the $100 a day, I love my actors because they stuck it out with me.
Right.
And we were on the floor changing clothes,
mm-hmm.
on someone's bed,
mm-hmm.
and using some friend's house.
Yeah, you become a family in a situation
like
that.
We were tight. Robert Easton was tight. We were all like, you know, we always ate well,
mm-hmm.
but it was hard. And then everyone got paid. Everybody, so.
That's great.
I'm hoping that the movie makes a lot of money so I can give my actors their deserved residuals.
Nice. Excellent. That's really, really great. It's a, you know, wonderful statement of what's to come in your future.
Well, I wanted to create not just a movie and rip everybody off. I wanted to create a movie where we make money and we create a company.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I really loved Orson Welles and his Mercury company.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot, Mercury Actors or whatever they were.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Orson Welles' movies, he uses the same actor.
Right.
From his company.
Right.
So I wanted to, you know, I keep thinking about that. What's that Cuban actor that works all the time? He was in Officer and a Gentleman.
Cuban. Hmm. Your parents are Cuban, aren't they?
Yeah. Parents came
right.
over from the Revolution.
And you were born in New York.
Yeah.
And then you immigrated to Hollywood.
Everybody that left Fidel Castro went to New York for money.
Right.
There were some hotels doorman or some milkman.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think all the Cubans got cold and went
mm-hmm.
to Miami.
That's what happened. It got cold.
Yeah, if you look at it, my generation, you go, yeah, everybody went back to Miami.
Right.
Cubans was like, you know, forget about it. I need the temperature down.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, Miami's closer to Cuba anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you did a short film in Cuba, didn't you?
I did a short film called Little Havana.
Mm-hmm.
My Little Havana about the drug scene, cocaine scene.
Mm-hmm.
It had some biographical... One day I wanted to make a movie about it, but it had some truth in it about the 1980s, the cocaine cowboys in Miami,
mm-hmm.
and how a 16-year-old kid, me,
mm-hmm.
Is thrown into it in a 24-hour... You know, in Cuban, we study in Cuba. The Cubans do a thing called Noche Buena.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this cocaine odyssey of from Noche Buena to Christmas Day.
Really?
You know, picking up the pig. We kill a pig. We generally go to a farm, kill the pig, gut it, bleed it, set it up, skin it, and start putting it in a pit.
Yeah,
on the evening of the 24th.
Uh-huh.
Noche Buena. And then we party all night until Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And just feasting and just crazy and then coking it up. And I wanted to make a really cool, like, for the first time, make a great Scarface movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, Oliver Stone made... I talked to Oliver and I talked to Brian. It was an opera. It was an opera-esque type of movie. Scarface was an opera,
mm-hmm.
if you look at it.
Right.
You know, really everything was over the top.
Yes.
But nobody's ever captured the Cuban the way I saw it, which was, you know, the Cuban thing that I saw was like women, food, and music.
Mm-hmm.
And then cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that wild time where, you know, it was, we were, before the Colombians went in and killed everything and then they became the head guys,
mm-hmm.
the Cubans were the guys running things in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make a nice, cool movie about it.
Right.
And I made a short. And then I talked shit about Castro.
Uh-huh.
And then I got invited to the Havana Cuban Film Festival. But they put me in a little room and they took my money, you know. That's what they want. They don't care if you talk anything about him. They just want the money. So I got invited. I got to meet Cubans. I got to meet my aunt for the first time. It's on YouTube.
Oh, really?
It's called Looking for Cuba. Like, it was kind of like a weird analogy I was trying to create where I went back looking for a Cuba that I was brainwashed by my Cuban parents to believe on something and about something I cared nothing about. So when I got there, you know, I'm more American than I've ever been. This is my country. But I come from an island that I'm supposed to love.
Right.
And I didn't find anything. And I love Miami more than I love Cuba. But it, I got to know my mother better and my father better because that island stopped in 1959. So if you want to know what 1959 is like, go to Cuba.
I heard that it's stuck in the 50s.
It is stuck in the 50s.
And the cars are still that old. And
I called my mom and I go, Ma, did you go to the Capri? It's still here. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You know, I used to go dancing with the guys and we'd go over to La 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 La.
Right.
And then I'd go to that club.
Mm.
The hotels are the same. Everything is the same.
Fun. That's fun.
So that was a great way for me to know about my mom and dad and my grandmother and Hemingway, who I really obsessed about when I go to Cuba. But it's a weird, they're stuck in something that I know not of. You know, I mean, I can go to Mexico City and it's like, I'm in Mexico.
Right.
You know, there's more fried, there's more Mexican in Mexico than Cuban in Cuba. Cuba is like some fogged up philosophy that's dead, and it's suppressing the people. Although they've adapted, I can't wait for it to. I don't need it. I don't need some, you know, capitalistic empire to move in there. But let's open it up. Where, you know, I got to meet some people that were very high up in the government, I can't mention their names,
yes,
that were exiled.
Wow.
And they told me some things about that government. And it sucks.
Yeah.
And it's very all about, it's not about communism, because it never was. It's about Fidel Castro, Fidelismo.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's not about, it's about one man trying to see how big he is.
Well, it sounds to me like you've got a lot of good material there to make something in the future.
One day,
I
wrote it for Eddie, Eddie and Isai Morales, and Isai and I would be brothers, but I think...
Oh, that would be a great casting.
Yeah, I would love Isai to be in it, and Andy,
Vincent.
I wrote it for Andy. So one day, you know, when the finances come, we'll bring them all out of...
Bring them all out and get them all working.
Get them all working.
Be a family.
I love the Latin actors in L.A.
I do, too.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they are.
You know, whenever I see them, I'm like, oh, my God, was that you? Was that you in CSI? Get out!
Oh, that's...
You know that show, Kane?
Yeah, I do.
So all of them are my friends, you know.
Yeah.
Julio Machaco.
I actually was cast in The Taming of the Shrew as Bianca with Isai Morales and Jimmy Smits.
Oh, my God.
It never, it, you know, we had a few rehearsals and then it fell apart for some reason, but... yeah, that was going to be awesome. We were going to do it on Alvera Street.
Oh, I know where that is.
Yeah.
Where, like, Nosotros is?
Yeah, it was great. You know, I didn't get to complete it, but it was really fun to do a few rehearsals with everybody. So.
Yeah, and, you know, Nestor Carbonell. You know, everybody that you know, like Kristen, who changed his name, Cliff.
Oh, guess what?
Gonzalez Cliff.
I don't remember that, but we're going to continue this conversation when I see you Sunday, because we just came up on the last minute of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour, so I'm going to have to wrap it up. Boy, this went by fast. Thank you, Jesu.
Thank you so much.
My guest.
Fun rapping with you.
Yeah, it was really fun. And everybody go to www.spiritualwarriors.com. Check it out. The screening is Sunday. If you're local, go see it. Beverly Hills Fine Arts Theater, 8556 Wilshire Boulevard, Beverly Hills. Phone number is 310-360-0455. And thank you for listening tonight. Remember, everybody, to stand up really straight, take a deep breath, and love yourselves. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. So get in action and create the life you want for yourself. Thanks again, Jay Sue, and good night, everybody.
God bless, Kate. Thanks.
Uh-huh.